Well, Adam in his songs has provided an introduction that I hadn't planned on. This is a great song. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I note that as we sing the verses, the word want is there. None of us has a lot of trouble with wanting. And that's something I can think about. I want to do it. But when we get to the chorus, we're making a declaration that I will work and pray. That's a little bit farther down the line, folks. And the lesson we have, it's a funny title. It's titled, Evangelism is Not. And I ran across this some time ago in a little book. I have a number of points that evangelism is not. But by those, we begin to see what maybe evangelism is. And one thing I want to say to us is that evangelism is important. We also sang a song, Lord, Make Us Instruments of Peace. I like that song too. And you know, if you're like me, it's easy to start thinking about peace as the absence of conflict or the absence of war. Isn't that true?
Amen.
So, you know, where do we end up with that one? I'd really like to put it on a larger pedestal and say that in terms of evangelism, if we are instruments of peace, we sow that peace by sowing the message that is good news. Isn't that true? As we talk to another soul, and we ought to, and we must, we are trying to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the method of God to save mankind, and that's peacemaking, is it not? And Jesus said, blessed are the peace lovers, right? It's not what he said. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Everybody loves peace. You don't have to do anything to do that. You just sit and love. But you have to make peace, folks. And so I'd like to set that up on a pretty high pedestal before us this morning. I'd like to say to us that sometimes maybe we look at evangelism incorrectly. We look at it as a process, as something that we're supposed to do. And you say, well, isn't that what it is? And I say, yeah, it is. But maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's bigger. Maybe the reason we fail is because we either don't know what to do, or we can't come up with the gumption to do it, or the courage, or whatever it is. Maybe we need to start looking in the heart. I'm absolutely convinced that if the heart is filled with the picture of the cross and the answer of God to mankind, if I'm filled with that, it ought to overflow. My cup ought to overflow. This ought to be a more natural thing than you and I have been making it, at least for my lifetime. Okay? It ought not to be something that I look at and think, well, if they make me, I might. It ought to be something that comes from the depths within.
Amen.
So, point number one. Evangelism isn't a choice. Maybe we miss it there. Maybe we think, well, I can or I don't want to. Barna Research, a great national firm, they're researching amongst believers, may I say. It asks several questions. One of them, is your faith very important in your life? 99% of the ones they surveyed said yes. Piece of cake, right? Do you desire a close personal relationship with God? 94% said yes. Is it more important to please God than to achieve success or acceptance? 91% said yes. And then this one dangles along toward the bottom. Do you have a responsibility to share your faith with others? You're seeing it behind me, aren't you? 68% said yes. And I want to say, are we reading the text or not? You know, what's going on here in the midst of our world? In Matthew 28, starting at 18, you know this one. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. He says then this, one of the last things, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Sounds like a command. Sounds like something Jesus intended his followers to do. We couple that with some other simple concepts. We're called salt and light, are we not? That's just a little bit, and that's in Matthew 5, down in the 13 through 16, or somewhere in that zone there. There's a parable of the sower, is there not? The seed is the Word, and the method of God includes the Word being spread or planted by the spreaders and planters. That's those of us who believe. And it seems important that that happen. So the parable of the sower, the salt, and the light issue. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Almost the same as the Matthew 28 passage. Luke 9, starting at 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Pretty fundamental. Hardest thing in the world you and I have to do, isn't it? There's the rub zone. That I would truly deny myself and follow. That's obedience in the truest sense of the word. He says then, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one that'll save it. He turns things upside down as he always does. It's just backwards logic to us as humans, but it makes so much sense if we'll but see it and follow it. Amen. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, those are kind of evangelism words, aren't they? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of his holy angels. Ashamedness is not appropriate to those of us who have named the name of Jesus. Now that's on the negative side. Again, I'm going to continually try to bring us back to the idea that we ought to be overflowing with the love that is dwelling within us, that God planted there in Christ Jesus. So evangelism isn't a choice. If you feel like it is, choose at your own risk. It's something that every Christian must do. And we need to be about doing it. Number two, it's not just passing on information. Now, sometimes we think that it's just a few verbal type things and that's all that there is there. And there are many different ways of effective communication of Jesus, isn't there? Amen. One of them, I've heard the term friendship evangelism. Be a friend to everybody you can with an eye toward maybe preaching Jesus. Surely that's a good term and a good idea. You cannot divorce the message of Jesus from the life that he lived. You cannot divorce evangelism from the lives that you and I live. Isn't that true? It's bigger than that. The information is indeed important. The truth of Christ Jesus is a must. But the way we go about that often is just to be the people we ought to be. To be active, proactive in the lives of others. To mean something to somebody else, to be the support for the hurting, to maybe be a meal for somebody who would have had a can of soup if you hadn't showed up, or maybe less than that. Jesus not only was the Word, He lived that Word. Someone said, if you're going to sell the product, you need to buy it and use it. And I don't mean to be condescending or use terms incorrectly about products. I think you understand what I'm saying. Folks, if we're going to talk about Jesus, we need to have Jesus in us. And we need to be actively using Jesus in our lives so that it can be seen. And so it isn't just passing on information. There's got to be some passion in the middle of this process. There's got to be some passion in my life. Isn't that true? I really believe that with all of my heart. We're going to talk as evangelists. We're going to be talking about the Lamb of God on the cross in our place. Put all that together. Do you see how powerful a picture that is? The Lamb of God on the cross for me. And all I'm trying to do is say, would you look at what He's done for me? He'll do that for you too. And that's important. So it's not just matter of fact passing on words. We're passing on ourselves. I believe that with all my heart. I wish Brian was here this morning. I'm trying to get him to sing a song called Alive, Alert, Awake, Enthusiastic. Some of you know that song. It's a kid's song. But I think the evangelist, the Christian, has got to be a passionate, alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic individual. Amen. If not, why not? And I know that sometimes I walk around the world looking like Eeyore. See, a lot of you know that story. Sometimes we do, don't we? We need to do better than that. Next point is it's not a personality issue. It's easy to say, Phil's a preacher, he's an elder, it's up to him to do it. Yes, it is. But it isn't just up to me. It isn't just up to your elders. It isn't just up to your deacons. It's up to every soul that is a Christian. Jack Exum used to say, if you know that much truth, boy, tell it. You don't have to know it all. How much do you know? Are you a Christian? You say, yes. You know that much. You know Jesus. You know the death and the burial and the resurrection. You know what you did to be a Christian. Isn't that enough to tell? Amen. You know, you don't have to tell, you know, every character of the Bible or whatever. You just get out what you know. And when you get done and you say, I don't know any more than that, maybe they'll say, I like what you said. Let's go find somebody that does. We can do that. We can do that. It's not just for type A persons. You think, well, I can't talk to people. I'm quiet and I'm shy. And, you know, it's got to take a different personality to do that. Some of the most powerful people I have ever known have been older ladies. I mean that. Since I was a little kid, some of the most powerful people. In 1 Kings 19:12, you remember that story with Elijah, the still small voice? Sometimes the power is in the still and the small there. I heard my brother David say many times that it was a little old lady down the street who brought his mom and daddy to the Lord. Amen. Not a power person. Not a type A personality, probably. Just someone who cared. Someone who hung around and took the opportunity when it presented itself. That's who you and I have to be. Someone who hangs around. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." God's power. "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." That's important, folks. This isn't about you. This is about letting God work through you. And it ought to be something a lot more comfortable than we have made it over the years that I've been alive. The next one, it's not just something you do. And I've already kind of said that. I'll run through this one quickly. But is Christianity what I do, or is it who I am? You say, not a fair question. And it's not. It's both, isn't it? But primarily, what I do has to come from who I am. It isn't a duty that we perform. It's not a box that we check. It's something that we are that needs to ooze out of us. It's kind of like breathing. You don't need a script. You don't need a lesson plan to breathe. You just do it. And I think that's the way we need to be. It should be an involuntary response to naturally share Christ that comes out of a heart that loves Him. In short, evangelism is the essence of who you are as you walk through this daily life. It is, are you listening? The consistent and natural overflow of a deep and abiding relationship with Christ. We need a deep abiding relationship with Christ, folks. It's not just a second-hand thing. It's not something that you grab off the counter and stuff in your pocket as you go out the front door. It's you, always. And so it's a love response any way we look at it. Colossians 3, starting at verse 1. "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ," you have, I hope, "keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died," have we? Are we dying? Have we died? "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And then it says this, when Christ, who is your life, is that true, Bill? Is Christ my life? It said it there. "When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory." Christ needs to be our lives. The next one is that it's not in competition with discipleship. I don't know. I thought about skipping this one, but it's important. Sometimes I get to thinking that, well, I'm the preacher and I teach classes and I try to encourage people. It's my job to build up the fellowship. And that's true. If you're going to be a preacher in an eldership, your job is to edify and encourage and build up koinonia, the fellowship. So as I do that, it's easy to say, "And the rest of you take care of that other stuff. You go tell the story." And I'm just as wrong as I can be if that's true. And that's this point. Okay? This one is for all of us, this evangelism idea. Whatever drives me to want to help fellowship ought to drive me to tell about what the fellowship is in. And that's Christ Jesus. We have differing talents, no doubt. Intentional evangelism that leads to a conversion is always preceded by the process of our teaching about fellowship and bringing about discipleship. We need to possess a genuine passion for biblical seed planting. Is that okay? A genuine passion that comes out of my heart for seed planting. That's biblical. We need to tell the good news. Evangelism cannot be delegated. Well, we do that in a way as we help one another. But the idea here is that I just But we've been sending out house to house, heart to heart for a number of years. And it's good. And it has some effect once in a while, and it's good. But I can't write a check to take care of the one we're talking about today. Is that true? I need to write checks. As we prayed, as we talked, and Jay talked about it this morning, it's important as our contribution is put together, it's important that we use it appropriately for this evangelistic type thing, both internally and externally. But when I write a check on Sunday morning, it's not done. I haven't taken care of my responsibility. You know, we call Hollywood for that. They want to write checks for everything and nobody wants to empty a bedpan. Folks, we got to get out there and get the job done. We've got to get out and do the work. One thing about evangelism that it cannot be, we talked about, it's not just the passing of information. There's no place in evangelism for a superior attitude or arrogance. And this one I'll do very, very quickly. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. A cocky attitude. Well, maybe this is the one. Am I trying to win an argument or am I trying to save a soul? There's your question, isn't it? If what we're doing with evangelism is going out there trying to win an argument, we are probably not going to be successful. If we're trying to love somebody into Jesus, we've got a chance. And so all humility needs to be a part of the evangelistic process. We cannot let our righteousness get in the way of His righteousness. Galatians 6:1, I think, is probably related, brethren. Even if someone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Are you ready? In the spirit of meekness or gentleness, looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. We need to be careful here. When I'm trying to persuade one or tell some other one about Jesus Christ, and what he means to them, I need to be real careful. I need to value that person, don't I? Amen. I need to value that person. And if I see something that crosses with my thinking, I need to be careful with that. Okay? You know, just, it doesn't work that way. And so I say on this one, don't run or march into this with arrogance. Crawl into evangelism. Just kind of crawl in there with humility. Evangelism is not meant to be silenced by fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 and 8, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. That one's going to get increasingly important in America. It already has, and you know that. The boldness issue needs to be a part. Without arrogance, boldness is different. In Romans 1, Paul, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. You and I are under obligation to anybody and everybody that doesn't have Jesus because we have him. Anybody and everybody. He goes on. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you. Alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. We need to be eager about this. For he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Paul just basically said, I'm not ashamed of the seed. I'll plant it. He's not ashamed of the good news of Jesus. For in it, this power, this gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written that the righteous man shall live by faith. Finally, we talk a little bit as we close about what I've called process problems. And maybe this one is just my experience. Bear with me. You know, for at least 40 years, probably longer than that, as a preacher, I've been asked to teach folks how to teach people about Jesus. And I've tried in 100 different ways. And I finally come to the position, again, forgive me, that you need to learn yourself how to teach Jesus. You need to write your own lesson plan. Some of you have. If all you're doing is waiting for me to come up with a series of words that you can take to somebody and spit out, it's not going to work effectively. It isn't. I'm going back to where we started. It really isn't that much of a process. They don't want to know what you know until they know that you care. Let's get the caring out there first. Let's learn to care. When you know somebody and they know that you care, then the little simple words of belief ought to be sufficient. You can sit at home and rehearse this. You have a Bible. It isn't that there's not thousands of things out there that have been written about how to evangelize about Jesus. There are. You can get on the internet today, look that up, and probably have 14 or 15 of them before the day's out. But you still have to make it you. As long as somebody else wrote it. I have always had trouble teaching a class, grabbing someone else's material and trying to make it work. The only way I can do it is to take somebody else's material, go home, tear it apart, and turn it into mine. And that's what I'm suggesting for each and every one of us. It does not have to be elaborate. It does not have to be a theological dissertation. It's a picture of the Son of God dying on the cross. For sure, I can't pass on to the preacher, well, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. We may both get blamed in the final analysis, but that's not good enough to relieve you of your responsibility. Okay? Someone said in a thing I was watching, it was about marriage, and his marriage had gone sour. And he made the statement, he guessed that he just wasn't willing to do the heavy lifting that it took to keep his relationship in order. And that hit me deep. That's a good thought, isn't it? Are we not willing to do whatever little heavy lifting there is in grasping the most important information in eternity? Are we not willing to do the heavy lifting that it takes to get that inside of us so that it will naturally spill out in love? Lord, help us if that's the case. So make your own lesson plans. We're getting ready in 2020. We're going to do better things in rescue in 2020. And this one, I would say, go home and do it. Go home and make some simple ideas that you can make a part of yourself. Once you do, nobody can take it away from you. You've imprinted it in your mind. And once that happens, it's always there. It's like a good tool. In Job 32, and this really, I'm pulling it out of context. I know that. And I know I'm not supposed to do that. But in Job 32, starting at 15, his buddies have come and they're telling him what he ought to do, what he should have done, where he's wrong. They just mess it all up. There are people that have come to comfort him and they just are throwing salt in the wound. Eliu happens to be the younger one. And he finally waits for all the elders and it's his turn. and we pick it up. They are dismayed. They no longer answer. Words have failed them. Shall I wait because they do not speak? Because they stop and no longer answer? That's kind of the situation. I too will answer my share. I will also tell my opinion. Here's the thing. This is what I'm after. This is out of context, but watch it. For I am full of words. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is like unbended wine, like new wineskins. It's about to burst. Let me speak that I may get relief. Let me open my lips and answer. Do you see what Elihu is saying? I've got something inside that I've just got to say. I'm going to explode if you don't let me say it. And I like that. Whatever Elihu said is up. You know, go read that. But this part of it, we've got to catch, folks. Is there anything in us that is so powerful that we're ready to explode? And if we don't tell it, we're worried about exploding? Do we get that far in God's plan? In our relationship? And I submit to us, we need to. That's the lesson right there. We need to get to the point where we see the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus as the answer to men so significantly that we just can't not speak. An illustration. A young salesman was disappointed about losing a big sale. He talked with his sales manager. He said, I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The wise old manager said, son, it isn't your job to make him drink. It's your job to make him thirsty. Isn't that good? Can't we do that? That's powerful in my mind. We need to create in the people that we run into a thirst for the gospel. Amen. For the good news of Jesus Christ. I know that's tough in the society that you and I live in. But we need to learn to deal with it and make it work. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Will I work? That's the point. Matthew 5:16. Used it earlier. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It's not about your good works, folks. Seeing your good works, they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then one that I've always thought is so significant is Jesus in John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up, and he was, wasn't he? I will draw all men unto me. That's Jesus' promise. What that says to me is all I've got to do is present a little bit of information from a loving, exploding, expanding heart that's real, from a life that lives for Jesus. And if I get someone close to Jesus, Jesus is in charge of drawing men to himself, and I think he'll do that. I think there's so much power in that picture that men who want to be saved will be drawn to the power of the picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. So believing, we need to tell this story to everybody we can. That's probably a weak lesson, but in a way it's very powerful, folks. I think it's very important. I think we work on all kinds of things, and we ought to, and we surely need to work on fellowship and unity and the koinonia word and all of that thing. We want that within our midst. Maybe if we worked a little more on this one, the other one would fall into line pretty naturally. We need to be productive. We know the parable of the talents. This is part of the parable of the talents. We just need to get with the program. It isn't an us thing. It's an individual message. It's about you and what you do. It's about me and what I do. And when you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and I do it, all of a sudden we can begin to talk about what we are doing. But it has to start with the individual. And so I beg of your heart, I'm going to take this home and work it a little bit more. Lather it a little bit longer. You do the same. You've got it in several different ways. Think about these things. And in the coming year, I pray that you and I will not only grow closer to God through Christ Jesus, that our hearts will be knit with Him so significantly and so powerfully that we, like Elihu, just can't do anything other than speak. We believe, therefore we have spoken, the text says. If you're in this audience, you're not a child of God. I've been talking about how to tell you that that's so important. And we've been sharing information about how all of us could maybe surround you and say, we love you. There's nothing more important to any of us than you being in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And you're here this morning, and if you're not, you have an opportunity. Please take it. If there's confusion there, talk to one of us. We'll work on it. You may need the prayers of this group. It's a loving family. Trust me, it is.